to the character of God, His promise and so forth. And so God spares them again, but here, Numbers chapter 12, Numbers chapter 13, God, through Moses, will send out and search the land of promise. So look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and following here. The Lord speaks to Moses. He says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." So this represents the leadership of the of each tribe, a ruler. "And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and their names are given. And they go and they search out the land. And when they come back," in verse 26, notice verse 26, "they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." The grapes, first ripe grapes and stuff that was collected, they told him. And they said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone,'" notice all the references to the land, "'which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak." And so there's we're grasshoppers. Now, we know the rest of the story. We've read the Bible. You get to the book of Joshua, and what happens to the first town there at Jericho? It's a walled city, right? Pretty fortified. They have any problem taking that city? Rahab the harlot even tells the other spies, another account there, says, "We know of thee. We've heard of you. We know of the power and the destruction back 40 years in Egypt. We're scared." So what does that say about what will happen and what here is happening? I want you to think about that as people and how we allow our fears to control us so much in our life. And we really need to work on that. All the days of our life. I'm pointing a finger at myself. Overcome your fears. Allow yourself to be free from that. And let God work. That's what he's saying here. And so again, the events at Kadesh Barnea, there's a kind of the location. We've moved from Sinai up to this area. I don't know if this is going to be visual. No, it's probably too small. But this is just kind of a fast forward of some of the events. You're going to have this bronze serpent kind of in this area that will be raised up when God will send the vipers and so forth, and they'll have to look upon it. Of course, this will be the Mount Nebo. We'll get to that here shortly. This is the ground right in this area during the 40 years of wandering of the Kadesh Barnea area. That's, by the way, this is where the wandering takes place. I've got a picture, I think, of kind of what it looks like today. This is where Korah and his rebellion is swallowed up, number 16. And so, isn't it, to me it's just amazing that they spend 40 years, another 40 years wandering, which is also Moses' last 40 years. Moses has to spend the last 40 years of his life with these people before he gets to go over here and gets to look over into the promised land, and then he dies. So, I don't know, I mean, when you think about the the lack of faith that these people had. And trying to be, again, real and point out the fact that they're in an area where it's desert, they're wilderness. The word wilderness doesn't mean like big trees and stuff. When you read the word wilderness in the Bible, what do you think of? If I said wilderness back in Arkansas, I'm thinking of the Ozarks, big trees, and fertile valleys, and thick, lush woodlands. Well, when you talk about wilderness in the Bible, these are often barren, desert-type locations. So they basically will spend this 40 years wandering around down here south, just south of the Promised Land. Now, brethren, it doesn't make any sense for you or me to spend our entire life in service to God, claiming to be a Christian, coming to worship services, offering sacrifices, and then getting to the end of our journey and wandering around aimlessly and missing the whole point. And that's the lesson of this context of Scripture. And that land was a great test for them. So there's the root of the spies down here. They would have left. That's a pretty good little route. Go up here to the north part, come all the way back down, and avoid any conflict that we know of. Get out. All of them make it back. You might think, you know, you made it back alive. God protected you. And then come back and give this negative report. But here's the first grapes. Here's the fruit. Boy, it's a really land flowing with milk and honey. But we're grasshoppers. So, maybe that'll kind of give you a little bit more of a picture in your mind. So let's any comments, questions on that little episode? Okay, so what happens here, when you're talking about Kadesh Barnea, from this point on, don't forget about the 12 spies sent out. They return with the adverse report. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 and following. People murmur. They complain. God again gives them pardon through Moses. But notice here, verse 1, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night, and all their children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had we died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Let us make captains in verse 4, and let's return. Let's go back to Egypt. Imagine those rulers and those heads of those tribes were a part of that conversation. And then Joshua and others, look at verse 7. The land which we pass through is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, look at the faith here, Joshua, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not. And so the rebellion there takes place. Look at verse 11. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? You remember in the New Testament, something that comes to mind when I think about this is what the Bible says to elders, shepherds, to stop the mouths of the gainsayers. Why are we principally responsible for stopping the mouths of gainsayers and people today in the New Testament church? What happens when you don't stop the mouths of certain types of people like this? Here's what happens. Yeah, it spreads. It's like a venom, you know, and that's why it's so important for men, for leadership, to not allow that to happen. Look at the Joshuas, look at the Calebs, God's going to delight in us and give us this land. Why should we sit back and allow murmurers and complainers? We can't. I talk about morale a lot. When morale is low, how effective is the work of a congregation? It's terrible. When people aren't getting along because they're not trying. Okay, what about a team, sports? When morale is low, will they win anything? No. But see the potentials. See the potentials in everyone. like Joshua and Caleb, and you can make it. But right here again is where God, he's had it with them. And so he decreed that they would wander for 40 years. Look at verses 32 through 34 of Numbers 14. And I don't remember if I had this. Yeah, I did put this in here. Okay, so in Numbers chapter 14, verses 32 through 34, it's here where God says, that's it, you're not going in. And notice the language. Now this is ancient. Moses writes this. And notice here in verse 32, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. How'd you like to tell your kids, well, kids, this is it, 40 years. It's where you're going to cut your teeth. You're going to learn how to, I guess, make arrowheads and everything else. But nonetheless, and notice the reason, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, the consequences of sin. You look out today, do you see children having to suffer because of poor parenting? Yep. God doesn't remove consequences. And we have to realize that. And children are suffering today. Suffering for 40 years, suffering for long times. Gospel, of course, can redeem people, but they have to repent. They have to hear it, believe it, and obey it. So, comment? Okay. Watch this. Look at verse 34. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. So, the New Testament is full of lessons. The Hebrews writer talks about in the day of provocation here, when they provoked God unto wrath, and they were not allowed, they wandered around, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. And the lesson is ours, why could they not enter in? The Hebrews writer, look at Hebrews chapter 3 just for a moment. I guess that's a passage we shouldn't pass up. Notice here in this story, notice Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 where he reminds us as holy brethren, verse 1, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 11, reminding us today. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, verse 12. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look at verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. What is the sin? I think it's in chapter 12. The sin that thus so easily beset us in verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. The Hebrews writer is still talking about this same lesson here that we're reading about in the book of Numbers. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is the sin that seems to be so easily besetting? That's it. What else could it be? It's faith. It's a lack of faith. And that's why I said earlier on, fear, what is it that counters your faith? What is it that counters our faith? It's fear. That's I'm afraid. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I can't really know if this is, but you know God's word. You know he's fulfilled his promises here. He said he'll fulfill his promises later. Why would we not believe him? And that's the story from the beginning to the end. I am Jehovah. I change not. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So back to Numbers chapter 14, verses 40 through verse 45. This is where Joshua and Caleb are told they'll be allowed to go in, and but not the not that first generation. Verse 38, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Phinehas which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Can you imagine the mourning in the land? Just terrible. So you have some more laws in Numbers 15. This is where, again, the Israelites will wander around for 40 years. And I don't know about you, but I know about me, one of the most frustrating things, and we all have to work on frustration. One of the most frustrating things to me is to feel like I'm wasting my time. You ever feel that way? You ever have a day where you go all day and you go, man, I just didn't get anything done. Everything broke. Nothing happened. I just going in circles. That idea, principle comes from these types of lessons here in the Bible, this lesson here. Can you imagine wandering around for 40 years? You'd have to find some contentment, I suppose. Anyway, there again's an image of the wandering, a circle there that 40 years, and it's not much, it's 20, 40 miles of location. There's another map that shows you so close. You got Jerusalem up here, and here we are wandering around. But no, sir, you're not going in, and you're not going to enjoy and reap the benefits of the promised land. Any comments, questions? Here's an image of the wilderness there, just this one. There's many on the, but you can see where it's kind of dry and dry creek bed or what they call dry wadis. Who knows? Wouldn't it be neat to dig around and look for artifacts and various locations of habitation? But anyway, wilderness of Paran area. Let's go to Mount Nebo, and I think, what time is it? Yeah. We'll spend some time here where Moses dies. Getting through the end of the book of Moses, the books of Moses. Remember, things like the Moabites, things like the land of the Amalekites, the land of Edom, all of these confrontations will take place, and we've already pointed these locations out. That's one reason why I'm kind of fast-tracking, trying to get through this, to get to Joshua. But I felt like Nebo was important, Mount Nebo. I think it's kind of interesting from the standpoint that God's leader, God's lawgiver, Moses. Look at Deuteronomy 18, just to remind us all of the person Moses was. And Moses, of course, all the while is pointing the Israelites to the prophet that would be Jesus Christ, that would be likened to himself. Deuteronomy 18, before Moses dies, he writes, records by inspiration, verse 15, Deuteronomy 18, 15, the Lord thy God. He's writing this unto the children of Israel during that 40 years, okay? And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Like unto me. And that would be 1,500 years or so. Am I right on that? What did I say earlier? 1,500 years on the nation of Israel? Did I say 500? I meant 15 if I didn't. So numbers sometimes run together. Alright, so he's talking about a prophet like unto himself. Unto him ye shall hearken, verse 15, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Back then, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. You remember John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, these words shall judge you in the last days. They're not my words, they're God's words. He was saying that all along the way to those Jews who kept rejecting their Messiah. The one, the prophet, the same Jews that rejected him and the same Jews that were saying in John chapter 1 to John the Baptizer, art thou that prophet? A reference to this context. Art thou that prophet? They wouldn't accept it though. The same Jews in Matthew 3 or Matthew 2 verse 1 and following, when King Herod inquired of the scribes of where is the Messiah, the Christ, to be born? And they answered rightly and said, of Bethlehem, O Judea, as the prophet says. Quoting from the prophets. The same Messiah they refused to accept. But they all the while were looking for him, but they wouldn't accept him. You have to really think about the nature of rejection. And how people are so stubborn. All right, look at Deuteronomy 34 then, verses 1 and following. Just a story of context of Moses and Mount Nebo. He's allowed. We're at the foothills. I mean, we're about ready to enter into the promised land. And verse 1, Moses went up from the plains of Moab. So I kind of skipped over Moab. You're coming down south of Mount Nebo. The Moabites. Anybody remember who the Moabites were descendants of? Lot, that's right. Moabites are a problem with God's people, Israel, but they're all related, remember? All right, and so they come out of the plain of Moab to the Mount of Nebo, to the top, the Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the... My eyes aren't working. The plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And again, think about Moses' life as you consider the end. Jude talks about the funeral of Moses. Remember that account? About the bones of Moses and the angel. Argued with Satan. But durst not rail an accusation against him, but said, God will judge thee. It appears that God buried Moses. And in order to, in my judgment, to avoid the shrine of Moses' bones, God handled that situation. Perhaps Satan was going to again make some idol out of it or something, like he always does. But Moses' life here, broken up in 40-year increments. The first 40 years spent where? In Egypt. Schooled, very educated, but yet a man who sees the wrong doing against his own people. Desires justice. A man who flees because he's not appreciated. Now think about that. He goes to a well and he sees some women not being treated very well and he defends them. Zipporah is one of them who becomes his wife. They go and report back to their father, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and say, hey, there's an Egyptian. Why did they think he was an Egyptian? The way he was dressed, that's right. Likely the way he looked and the way he was dressed. Culture. An Egyptian saved us. He helped us. And they said, Jethro said, well, why didn't you bring him back to us? And so what will Moses do for the next 40 years? He shepherds his father-in-law, what becomes his father-in-law's flock, his sheep, his animals. God was preparing him. On the way back to Egypt to save his people, he gets in trouble at an inn with his wife because of the issue of circumcision. And they get that situation seemingly handled. And he goes back and he fights again. He goes back to battle for God. And then the last 40 years of his life is spent having to deal with what? And not even go and get to enjoy the promised land. The last 40 years. Now how would you hold up? I don't know. I know he grew frustrated a couple times. He threw the original tables of stone down, which by the way, where did those tables of stone end up? The original. They're placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And what else was in the Ark of the Covenant? And a jar of manna. So, Moses, Mount Nebo, I don't know if I've got another slide here, I can't remember. No, that's it. Gets to look over that Jordan Valley. I think I do have a slide just to kind of get you there. We're going to stop here. But let's talk about this just briefly. This is where, that's just the river basin there, just a picture. But there's a picture of perhaps what maybe Moses got to kind of see. I don't know. It looks awful desolate to me. I typed in, but that is the Jordan River running through there. And, so I've got some other images I don't think I've got uploaded yet or, yeah, that's all I've got for now. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back and get to the book of Joshua, Lord willing, Sunday. And it won't take us long through Joshua. We'll be getting to the promised land. So any comments, questions on this as we close this Wednesday night Bible study? Yeah, snotty nose sheep. Very good. Any other comments or questions? No doubt God was shaping Moses, preparing him for that last 40 years. When he's told to speak to the rock, you know, we didn't talk about that, but I could have gone and talked, showed you pictures of rocks and wells, but we have pointed out some pictures of like the waters at Elim. You know, can you imagine? I mean, you know, how difficult would it have been? Watch the power of God, whack! And he smites that rock, and then God does what with that rock? Water still comes out. Not because of Moses' disobedience, though, but because of God's righteousness. So anyway, so much there, but we'll try to get into the River Jordan and try to advance here a little bit and get into the Promised Land. I appreciate the attention and the comments.